Anyone have a word, a testimony they're willing to share? You can come up front if you want. You can stand by your spot. Used them all up, huh? All right, Jan, you standing?
Yes.
Very good. What a silly question.
My most memorable Christmas memory was Christmas Eve 1990, which started a tradition of our whole family getting together always on Christmas Eve the whole day, attending worship together and enjoying the company. Christmas 1990, we spent at Mount Calvary in Milwaukee, where I grew up and my mom still attended, and we were all standing and singing the familiar Christmas carols. And I was focusing on the cross and the stained glass window behind the cross, and all of a sudden I heard, "I will protect you." And I looked, and there was the picture of Jesus, Good Shepherd, holding the lamb in his arms. I went home for several days. I thought, what's going to happen in my life that I need all this protection? And then I called my mom a few days later, and I said, what's that picture on that window? And she says, that's Jesus with the crown of thorns and the cloak from Monday Thursday. And I went, oh, that really was Jesus talking to me.
Praise God.
And ever since then, he's been with me through thick and thin and through all my meanderings by myself through Waukesha, crossing streets I probably shouldn't have, and so forth. My latest incident was one evening Ron and I were praying the common table prayer at supper time, and instead of just saying, come Lord Jesus, I said, come Lord Jesus, and finished the prayer, and all of a sudden I felt hands on my shoulders, and I went, whoa, this is real. I know that God is with me all the time, through thick and thin.
Thank you, Jan. Praise God. I'm going to give you a little testimony about Jan. It was probably 10 years ago or 5 years ago. I can't remember. And I would invite people to pray or give testimony. And Jan walked up to me at separate times and said, Pastor, I will never, ever be able to do that. So my famous word is yet. You have no idea what God wants to do with you yet, and what you're capable of. So, anyone else a thought, a testimony they want to share? Come on down, Sandy. Oh, that's fine too, yes.
I came a little prepared because I had shared this with some people already, and I thought this is so speaking to what Christmas is. There was a Jewish man in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York, whose name was Yankel. He owned a bakery there, and he had survived the Nazi concentration camps. And this is how he told his story. You know why I'm alive today? I was a kid, just a teenager at the time. We were on the train, December 1941, in a boxcar being taken to Auschwitz. Night came, and it was freezing and cold and very, very lonely in that boxcar. The Germans would leave us in the boxcars on the side of the tracks overnight, sometimes for days on end without any food or water, and of course, no blankets to keep warm. Sitting next to me was an older Jewish, beloved elderly man whom I recognized from my hometown. Although I recognized him, I had never seen him or talked to him. He was shivering from head to toe, and he looked terrible. So I wrapped my arms around him and began rubbing him to warm him up. I rubbed his arms, his legs, his face, his neck, and just held him. I begged him to hang on. I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. All night long, I kept the man warm. I was tired. I was exhausted. I was freezing cold myself, and my hands were numb. But I couldn't stop rubbing the heat into this man's body. Hours and hours went by, and I continued to try and give heed to this man. He was breathing very shallow, and I was afraid he was going to lose him. Finally, night passed, morning came, and the sun began to shine. There was some warmth throughout the wooden slats in the boxcar. I looked around the car to see where the other men were in the boxcar, and to my horror, all I could see were frozen bodies. All I could hear was deathly silence. No one else in the cabin had made it through the night. They died from the frost and the cold. Only two people had survived, the old man and me. The old man survived because I kept him warm, and I survived because I was warming him. A simple little gesture, caring about someone's well-being. Let me tell you the secret of Christianity and Christmas. When you warm other people's hearts, you remain warm yourself. When you seek to support, encourage, and inspire others, then you discover support, encouragement, and inspiration in your own life. That is why there was a manger, and that is why there was a baby, and that is why there was a cross. Jesus told us, as I have loved you, you must love one another. Just like that boxcar, the world can be dark and a cold place. This Christmas and in the new year, commit to serving others and you will experience the warmth and the love of the newborn babe. And it's so true. I mean, I've learned just by being part of this church, when I take someone's hand or hug them or anything, I feel that coming back. And that is really the gift of Christmas.
Thank you, Sandy. Want to go up front? Why don't you go up front?
It was the mid-90s, and I had Christmas Eve off, which didn't happen a lot.
He was a policeman.
I got a call from the department saying that there was a man with a gun, and I was a crisis negotiator, so I had to go out and leave the family. And so I negotiated with the guy, and the SWAT team was there, and the guy, we were talking back and forth, and finally I could tell that it was going to go downhill, and there wasn't anything I could do or say, and finally the guy said, "Merry expletive Christmas." He hung up the phone, and there was a gunshot, and he killed himself. Well, that was not my best Christmas Eve. But later on that evening, as I was doing the paperwork and stuff, and an officer came up to me, and he goes, "Hey, thanks for that." I go, "What, the guy?" He says that we didn't have to shoot this guy. And that really kind of helped me through that, because it was like, well, you know, all those people were out there, all the SWAT team was there, and they might have had to shoot this guy on Christmas Eve, and then they have to go back to their families. So that kind of helped me through it. And so you never know what you say to somebody that really might help them through a situation, even if it's on Christmas Eve.
Thank you, John. Don't want to cut anyone off, but you want to come up front or right there? Whatever you're comfortable with. There you go.
Well, I'm not comfortable. I really don't want to do this, but when I was a kid, there were seven in my family. I was right in the middle. We were very poor. My father was in poor health. There wasn't much money, and we lived up north in a little town, went to a little bitty church, and every year we would do the Christmas program, and afterwards, we were given a bag of treats. There was an apple. There were nuts. There was fairy food. There was hard candy. Why do I remember that? I don't know. But that was Christmas that year. And a few years later, I still remember it.
Amen. You want to come up or just? I'll come around. Got to stand up, though, sir.
So the kids participate in Awana. And Awana is very missionary-oriented, and there is the pastor that kind of oversees our Awana has been a missionary to Indonesia for the last 40 years. And the secretary of our Awana club was going to accompany him on a mission trip a few years ago. So they went to Indonesia, came back, and started telling of all the different people. So Indonesia is 98% Muslim, and this little tiny little village is growing pastors to be able to go out. And a lot of women that are there to support the men that are becoming pastors. And there is one woman in particular who her first husband died from a disease. And in Indonesia, when the husbands die, the women are left with all of the expenses of burial, funeral, and if they can't pay it, then somebody else will come in and pay it, but then they get charged exorbitant amounts of money for interest, and most women never make it out from underneath that debt. So she ended up a few years later finding another man and married him, and he owned a small little rubber tree grove. And so they were working really hard to try to pay off that debt when he died from a work accident. So she was then again left with the debt of another funeral and having absolutely nothing to be able to put towards the second husband's funeral. She had two daughters that she so desperately wanted to be able to send to school so that they could possibly have a chance of getting out of the village that they were in. So a couple years ago, the kids came to me and said, you know what, Mom, this year, we want to go without our presents, and we want to provide the debt, to pay off the debt for Assam so that she can just feel free and that her girls can go.